In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. When our Lord heals in sacred scripture, it is not only a manifestation of his power and his strength, that indeed he is the fulfillment of the promises foretold by the prophets, that indeed he is performing the signs that indeed were given in order that everyone would know that the Messiah was in their midst. On an intimate level, it is a manifestation of the desire that God has to heal and cure all of us. When our Lord raises from the dead, as he does for this young man, restoring him to his mother who was in desperate need of him, as her place in the community was connected to him, is on a natural level a beautiful manifestation of the solicitude that Christ has as he comes upon this scene. As Luke himself tells us, the Lord had compassion on her, and moved by that compassion, as he does for this young man, as he did for Lazarus, he raises him from the dead. He snatches him from the clutches of Satan and evil, which bring about death, which introduced death into our lives. But this natural reality that unfolds in front of all those who have gathered with our Lord also has clearly, by virtue of who he is, a supernatural component as well, reminding us, as the Lord has done for this man and this woman, so he likewise desires to do for us. Not only at that final moment when our lives are called forth from us to raise us to new life, but even now, as we continue our pilgrim journey, he looks with compassion upon each of us and desires to remove us from the clutches of death to sin that pull us away from him, from ourselves, and from one another. And the importance of calling this to mind, the Lord's natural love and compassion, and the supernatural implications of all the things that he accomplishes, is ordered to give us the strength we need to continue to marshal on, to continue to find our trust and our confidence in the Lord, who does indeed care for us. As I made reference to in our announcements, these are indeed troubling times, and there are things, many of which are true and real, that are pressing on our hearts and causing confusion, consternation, and anxiety. And there is a need for resolution, in order that the truths of Holy Mother Church may be proclaimed without any equivocation or doubt or confusion. But as we wait for that moment, that time when this clarity will be bestowed upon us, it is incumbent upon us to remain faithful and steadfast, never to falter, to waver, or allow ourselves to become overwhelmed and anxious, allow ourselves in that anxiety, in being overwhelmed, to fall into sin and find ourselves further separated from our Savior. And if indeed we do find ourselves in such a way, we always know by his grace and a prompting of the Holy Spirit that we are able to return to him, and that he wants us to return to him, and that he gives us grace in order to achieve that. We must, brothers and sisters, be men and women of hope and joy. I say this not just for you, but an exhortation for me as well, to be mindful of the fact that as much as I must safeguard and warn you of all the traps and snares that exist in the world, I also must arm you and exhort you to hope and joy and confidence in the Lord. We are victorious, even as we struggle in the victory here and now, precisely because Christ is victorious and he has allowed us to share in his victory. These are not pious platitudes. These are not things that we hope will happen sometime in a future distant and far off. It is a reflection in the virtue of hope of that which God accomplishes and has accomplished and continues to accomplish here and now. And so what does this look like in your daily lives? It means you must strive to be free of anxiety and doubt and worry. Yes, there are legitimate things that need our attention. There are things that need our diligence and our cooperation on a natural and a supernatural level. But for all of those things over which we might be able to exert some degree of control, there are so many more things that are simply out of our grasp. And it is to God that we must constantly go in order to remain steadfast and secure. Even if I don't know, even if I can't fix, even if I cannot overcome, God will provide as He has done, as He is doing, and as He desires to always do. That anxiety, or that life free then of anxiety, allows us to live well first with God, but likewise to live in true and authentic peace and harmony one with another. Not that all of our difficulties then will suddenly disappear, but that we, because of our relationship with our Lord and the compassion and love and mercy that He has for us, will give us the strength and the courage that we need to continue to persevere. And so call to mind again as you journey throughout this week and you confront the myriad of difficulties that will be set in your path. Come back to this passage of Scripture again and be reminded of the Lord's compassion and mercy for this widowed mother and her son. And that same compassion that He bestows upon you as well, to set you free from the grasp of sin, to set aside all of your anxieties, your doubts, and your worries, and that you too, not seized by fear, but in a life of joy and confidence, can truly articulate to the whole world that God has indeed visited His people. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, Amen.